best hotels
rented out, like Radissons and things, and I would run free course for the devotees for a year. You know, free educational training courses for group of devotees for a year. They can live in luxury, they can have best prasadam they can imagine. And then this educational and training course would be meant to create devotees who are fully equipped to take all over the world in Krishna consciousness.
You.
In 18 days. Yeah. You know, devotees who would be absolutely capable and qualified to negotiate with the leaders of the governments about how to implement Krishna conscious principles on national and global scale. This is what I would do. You know, create a team of spiritual rangers who can do anything, unstoppable. All right, so one thing is that you may think, oh, it's good to, you know, dream like that, but how much I can do? Because again, if you remember, the context in which we're speaking is karma, karma yoga, that also involves laws of karma. And you may think, okay, I may have big ambitions to do something very, very serious for Krishna, but I do have my karmic limitations, right? How many of you had these types of thoughts crossing your minds? Anyone? I want to tell you one interesting story from ISKCON's reality today, which would help you to understand that karma can only have effect if we live for ourselves, but if we do something for Krishna, karma has zero influence. You like to hear the story?
Yeah.
So this story is from Ukraine, which is also Russian-speaking kind of country, part of former USSR. And there is one lady who joined the movement at a ripe age of 60. She was already past 60 when she joined. And she had quite a difficult life. She was working her whole life practically in a factory. And so she retired after, you know, like whole life's job with a very small pension. And then she joined and she heard her Guru Maharaj, she's initiated by Niranjan Swami. He was speaking very highly about Food for Life program. And she thought, this is really wonderful idea to feed people with prasadam and change their lives like that. But she was thinking, you know, we don't have Food for Life. And she's living like in a relatively small town, maybe 300,000 or 400,000 population. And she was thinking, you know, we don't have Food for Life in here, and I cannot join anyone. But, yeah, I cannot do it. But anyway, I have little money, and I can cook. So I can maybe cook, you know, a few pies, vegetable pies, and then take them somewhere and feed somebody. And so she started doing that. She went to the nearby hospital and she negotiated with the, you know, director of the hospital and saying that this is what I want to do. She preached to him. She said that this food is beneficial. It's homemade, but it's also spiritualized. So it's beneficial not only for the body, but for people's consciousness. And the doctor said, okay, you can try. you can tell people, and if anyone agrees that this is your homemade cooking and this is who you are, if people want, they can take. And because actually in hospitals there are many people who maybe don't have relatives or something like that, and or who are very poor. And, you know, hospital food is not the best food on the planet anyway. And she started going to different, wardens?
Wards,
yeah, and offering her pies, and people were responding positively. So she started doing that on a regular basis, taking prasadam into hospital. And while she was doing that, you know, other devotees who were younger and much better off financially, they were thinking, oh my God, this old lady on her own volition does this kind of preaching. You know, we should be helping her a little bit. So they started giving her donations, and they started helping her in cooking and bringing prasadam and distributing. So she already got a little team without even having to solicit any support. Devotees came forward themselves. But then this lady is very sincere, and she was thinking, well, devotees are giving me donations, but devotees already using their Lakshmi for Krishna. Non-devotee business people, these are the ones who should be giving donations for this program. And so she started going to businesses and having like little photo album with her explaining what she is doing. And these businessmen started giving her money. First, small donations. Then she was coming back with reports, what she have done with the money. They would see, okay, it's properly used. They would give more and more. And she would spend time with them explaining about Krishna consciousness. And then she would often talk about India and holy places in India. And one businessman asked her, so you're going to India regularly? And she said, no, I never been. I only heard from other devotees. And he said, why don't you go? She said, well, I don't have any money. And he said, why didn't you tell me before? I'll pay your trip. And so he paid her trip. And since then, she's going every year to pilgrimages. And ultimately, that little program grew into a very big program to such an extent that a few years back, maybe 4 or 5 years back, she's been recognized by the mayor of the city as the greatest contributor to the volunteer welfare work amongst the citizens, and she was rewarded with a special letter, and some silver gift was given to her, like that. And she, you know, the person who had no strength, I mean, after 60, how much strength and health you have, right? No money, no position, nobody knew about her. Started from zero. She became famous. She had all the money at her disposal. So many people helping her. And on the top of that, she was going everywhere dressed in sari with tilak. And she was introducing herself with her devotee name also. And even the letterhead may have written in her devotee name, dedicated to Vandana Devi Dasi for her outstanding contribution. So this is an example. So we can see that nothing is impossible. If you sincerely want to do something good for Krishna, nothing can stop you. Yeah, good example. So we are not past 60 yet, maybe only Nitai Charambrabhu is. And he is doing a lot of things for Krishna, nevertheless. And so we have much more energy and much more opportunities. So it's not that something can limit us. And actually, it is explained that, for example, limitations of karma are related to money. That there is a specific amount of money which is allocated to us by our karma. But important thing that these are only money for our personal use, what we use for ourselves. But if you use money for Krishna, for spiritual master, for Vaishnavas, for preaching Krishna consciousness, sky is the limit. There is nothing which can limit you. Karma has no effect, right? So this is an important point to understand. Just to broaden our consciousness a little bit more. That only our imagination can limit us, really, in what we can do for Krishna. Okay, any questions, any comments, suggestions, complaints? I was anticipating one complaint in the beginning that some might say, you know, why this brahmachari is so stingy, only gives us 10 million pounds. So that's why I said you can take more if you want. All right. So everything's clear? Yes, Prabhu.
I've got a question that I was asking my mother relating to the point that you make that our karma limits our kind of success. That if we desire purely to serve Krishna, then Krishna will arrange. Say, for example, we find or we buy a lottery ticket and we actually have a sincere desire that we want to spend the winnings for Krishna. Is that gambling or is that not?
If you want to do what?
If your sincere desire is to serve Krishna,
yeah.
there's no personal gain in it. Is that still gambling?
Is gambling?
Yeah, if you win the lottery.
If you win the lottery, yeah. Why do you want to win the lottery?
Well, then you give all that Lakshmi to Krishna, for Krishna.
Why do we have to decide for Krishna how he wants to arrange the money coming for us? Especially thinking of breaking regulative principle. Mm. We don't need to do that. There is already billions of pounds in the lottery fund just waiting for you. Just, you know, decide what you want to do for Krishna and how that will benefit everybody. Because this is one of the six symptoms of Krishna consciousness. That it is beneficial for everyone. So if it is for Krishna, you will be able to explain to, you know, whoever is in charge of that all lottery money, how this activity will benefit everybody. And this money is meant for public benefit. So you don't have to win, just take whatever you want, any amount you want. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm serious. You don't have to.
That's how Balaji Temple built the temple.
Actually, Balaji Temple has, what's that?
Those big guys, I forgot their names.
I think 100 crores or something, you know, some, you know, really unbelievable amount of money sitting in their account, and they just waiting for someone to come up with a good idea how to spend the money. And it's not just in India. In here, it's the same. There is so much money accumulated in different foundations and everywhere. And people not spending them just because they don't have a good idea how to spend the money. So if you come up with the idea, they'll give it to you. Right? So money is not an issue at all. Yes,
but you mentioned about...
especially in this country.
Karmic limitations, but can you elaborate on that a bit more? Because, man, I thought like if one surrenders, you know, fully and sincerely to Krishna, he personally takes charge of one's karma anyway. So how does, you know, karmic limitation sort of, you know, come into practice? Can you please elaborate?
Yeah, this is important that if one surrenders unto Krishna, then one does nothing for oneself. And then, karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam, as Brahma Samhita explains, that karma has no influence upon such a person, one becomes free from karma. It's not that one's karma changes, but karma will have no influence at all.